We are continuing our study on achieving an alien mentality. Understanding that as people of God, we are aliens. And when I say that, I like to put in the other words to that. We're foreigners, strangers, and we're talking about aliens as it relates to what? This earth, this world. This world system. We are strangers. We are foreigners. We are temporary residents of this earth. We are exiles from heaven. We are outsiders because we don't belong here, in a sense. In a sense. We belong here in a sense in the fact that God has us here, but we don't belong here in a sense of this being our permanent home. To the point that we're mixing and blending to the point they can't tell us from them. When a unbeliever looks at a Christian, they ought to see not their ways and so forth reflecting off of us. We ought to reflect holiness to them. So there should be a clear difference. The reflection should be one of holiness and righteousness and not that of everything else that they always see. We ought to look weird in a sense. Strange, strangers. We ought to look foreign, foreigners. Our talk is different. Our life is different. Meaning our speech, our thoughts, and our words are all different, and our actions are all different. Okay, we went over why the term alien, I think we're finishing up the term, why the term alien, and we talked about, for example, Philippians 3:20, because our citizenship is in heaven. We are natives of heaven. We are heavenly natives. All right, instead of a Native American or whatever, we are native of heaven, a heavenly native. Our citizenship is there. John 17, go over that. 17:14. Did we go over that one? No. Someone said, yes, someone said.
I have it written down. I don't have that
note. Okay, so let's go to John 17:14. Again, the question is, why the term alien? Why the term strangers? And we talked about the definition of those two. Look at John, the Gospel of John, the 17th chapter, verse 14. Thank you, Father. I have given them your word, and the world... Oh, my bad. I'm getting a little happy there, Miss Meeling. So slow me down. John, the 17th. Yep, let me know what you get. That's fine. I get a little too happy at times. Okay, the 17th chapter, verse 14. Okay. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world. So why the term alien? I want to focus on the part because we are not of this world. This world's system, meaning this world's way of thinking, believing, thinking, speaking, and acting. Even as I am not of the world. So we belong to Jesus. He's not of this world. We're not of this world. He said, I do not ask you take them out of the world. I remember going to visit. But to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So why the term alien, foreigner, stranger, exile, temporary residence? Because we are not of this world. He mentions that twice. In those three verses, they are not of the world, I'm not of the world. Verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. You think he's trying to make a point there? We're not of the world. Hence, alien. An alien is not of this world. Help us to get that, Father, in our minds. Look at 1 John, that's at the back. 1 John, chapter 4, verse 5. We're still answering the question, why the term alien? Why did the Holy Spirit of the living God use the term alien. 1 John chapter 4, verse 5. They are from the world, talking about the people of this world. Therefore, or as a result, they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. So when you go in and you start saying that, hey, you know, love is love, you know, no matter who you love, you know, if a girl of a girl, a boy of a boy, hey, ain't love beautiful? See, that's world talk. You speak that, then the world will hear you. That's what it's saying. They'll listen to you. When you have your theories and your philosophies and your beliefs that match the world's, they will hear you. Got that? Because that's from the world. Look at verse 6. We are from God, as opposed to what? Being from the world. Now listen. In there you see the contrast between world and God. So what could you say world can be a synonym for? Satan. Exactly. Because he's a god of this world. They didn't say we are from heaven as opposed to the world. It said we are from God as opposed to the world, which is motivated by Satan. It said, but we are from God. He who knows God listens to us. So when I say that abortion is murder, when I say, you know, it's not right to love anyone, that love and sex is in the context of marriage, then those who are Christians will hear that. When we tell them that, you know, the concept of love is not to just be thrown around flippantly, but it is to be under the guidelines of the Spirit of God, a Christian will hear that. You follow that? Because we are from God and we all speak in the same language. That's why it's important, as I tell you many, many, many times, to listen carefully when people throw out God and Jesus. Listen beyond those words to see if they are speaking heavenese or hellese. Are they speaking as from heaven or speaking the language of the world? The Lord is teaching us through me for us to think critically, spiritually speaking. Because you want to be able to say, well, that talk is from the world. That's not from God. Or you want to be able to say, yeah, that is from God. And I'm from God, so we're going to match up on that. So we are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Sound like to me we're supposed to know the spirit of truth from the spirit of error. Does that sound like to me? Sound like that to you? Meaning that we got to have knowledge. Have to be taught. By this we know the spirit of truth from the spirit of error. That means we got to critically listen. And listen completely, not just the first few words. Folks will throw out Jesus. Folks say, I'm a Christian. Folks throw out, I believe in God all day long. They most certainly will. And we heard from Jesus. We see in Jesus' example, he just didn't bite on the first thing that was spoken. He did what I call a probing interview. Haven't I used that kind of phrase with you all? Do a probing and continue to question. When you say you believe in God, what does that mean? What does it look like to you? Who is God? Well, you know, it's a man upstairs. I remember I was trying to figure this guy out. Just right here. By this we know the spirit of truth through the air. I was trying to figure this guy out. He was a coach. And so we went to talking more, you know, and about God and so forth. And then it came out. The more we talked, he threw out the phrase, the man upstairs. And I knew then, no, that's not. See, Christians don't use that phrase, the man upstairs. Not a true, real, genuine Christian. We say God, God Father, Father God. Almighty God, Holy God. You know, we don't go to man upstairs. That's just general stuff. That's almost like that intelligent design that the evolutionist scientists are trying to throw around. They'll just throw something up. So you listen closely. Discern the spirit of truth from the spirit of error. We are from God. They are from the world. Hence, alien. Look at, you're in the same chapter, 1 John chapter 3. So let's go back one chapter to chapter 3, verse 1. First John chapter 3 and verse 1. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us. Amen. That we would be called children of God. That's a mighty love that he's bestowed on us to call us his children. By the way, that's the greatest title you could ever have. Over president, CEO, whatever. The greatest title is child of God. And such we are. We really are that. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Alien. Foreigner, stranger. World not gonna know you. Quit trying to be accepted by the world. Quit trying to get the world to love you. What is called the approval addiction? We're addicted to approval. Love me, approve me, don't reject me. Now, I understand we are human and we're made with a certain, you know, need for this and the other, but we distort that, we pervert that. We do it at all costs. And the cost that we do it at is the glory of God, the word of God, the integrity of God, the majesty of God. We don't need approval that badly. Jesus was not approved by mankind. Stephen was not approved by mankind. Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Isaiah were not approved by mankind. Who's the weeping prophet? Is that Jeremiah? The weeping prophet. Was he crying because he was laughing at Fred Sanford and Sanford and Son? He laughing so hard he was crying? No, he was crying because of the sins of the people. He cried and cried and cried. He was a weeping prophet. Why was Isaiah begging and begging and begging for them to listen? Because they would not listen. They were completely stiff-necked and rebellious. Jesus said that a prophet is without honor even in his own country. There was no approval even in his own town, Inktown. Born in Inkster, right over there on Key Widen, and nobody approved him, in a sense. Bethlehem was like Inkster. Well, no, it was a nondescript little town. Or Nazareth, rather. Can anything good thing come out of Nazareth? He's from Nazareth? Are you kidding me? Looking for approval. You've been approved by God. How you gonna just throw that away? Throw it away to be approved by another creature? That's blasphemous. Word of life? That's dishonorable. God has approved you. Even if your family throw you away, so be it. God, who created all mankind, including your family, has taken you in. Amen. He deemed you so valuable that he shed his blood for you. That's deep. Amen. You are valuable. You've been approved. You've been accepted. What more do you need? Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And I think it's about verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. What did it say, somebody? What you got, fella?
Blessed be God and the Father, and the Lord Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Christ.
Okay. Did it say about accepted in the beloved? What verse is that, 4? Yeah. Maybe 6, I don't know. Verse 6, what did it say? Yeah, I think it says blessed and beloved. Some verses say blessed. King James has accepted.
Bestowed.
And what did it say?
Bestowed.
Bestowed. Well, okay, read your verse 6.
To the praise of to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he has freely bestowed on us and the beloved.
Okay, so they, so I guess the King James has accepted us in the beloved, but I guess in the Greek, and maybe some various translations there. But the bottom line is, whether he's bestowed on us, accepted us, we know that he has allowed us into his presence as one of his children. And it says, what a great title to have, that we should be called children of God. Amen. You don't need anybody else's approval ever, especially not to the dishonor or discredit of your heavenly Father. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Boss, manager, mother, father, and they're not saying, I'm not saying that when you are met with disapproval from key significant others, that it doesn't hurt. I understand that it hurts. I understand that. But what I'm trying to say is just deal with that hurt in Jesus' name, and according to his word, and not sacrifice who God is and his honor and his glory trying to cover that hurt. You follow me? Deal with that hurt. Trying to deal with it, maybe get rid of it, and you'll compromise the word of God, maybe your beliefs, something like that, just to mend that fence. I'm saying go on, let it just got to be hurt. Don't get caught up in being addicted to approval. And there are some of us who are addicted, and a lot of us are. We don't want to say things to bother people, to hurt people. You know, remember we talk about many times, the 11th commandment is not thou shalt not be nice. Thou shalt be nice. That's not the 11th commandment. We think it is, especially that's leaked into the church. The 11th commandment, thou shalt be nice. But what that commandment does, it basically negates the other 10. Because when you say you're to live holy and children are to be obedient to their parents and be honorable and all that, you and a child are not acting right, forget being nice. Boom. Child act right. Boom. You spank that child. When somebody's talking things that are outside the word of God, and you, thou shalt be nice and don't say anything, and they're talking to you, by you not saying, you know, they're trying to get you to say that abortion is not murder, and you're sitting there kind of quiet, well, I really don't want to start nothing. I just, No, you know how you kind of, yeah. You want some more coffee? That's not going to work. And where's Jake and Michael not? That's not going to work out. That's not going to work out. You got to tell them, no, abortion is no abortion. God made gave life, and you can't play God and take life. That's what I'm talking about. Let the chips fall. We are aliens. Let them see. You want them talking. Your flesh may not, but you really want them to say, that's a weird dude. That's a weirdo. I don't get him. It ought to be that way, because you don't think like I think. I got a different nature than what you have. In fact, that's another thing for aliens. In fact, write that one down. If you're taking notes, that's Second Peter chapter 1, verse 3. According as his divine power is given unto us, all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has caused the glory and virtue. Yeah, verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. 2 Peter 1:4. That's why we're aliens, because we're partakers of a divine nature, whereas the people of this world are partakers of Satan's nature. Further alien. So I think we answered that question. Why alien? Why alien? Why did the Holy Spirit use that term? Because we are not of this world. Our nature is different. Our living is different. We're not of this world. It didn't know Jesus. It didn't know God. It won't know us. If you follow Jesus, you follow God. If you're a son of God, son of Jesus, or a brother of Jesus, you are not of this world. You are an alien, a foreigner, a stranger. Let's get that through our hearts and souls and our minds. And the reason the Lord is drilling this right on this part is because we want to transition our thinking, and I like to think some of you are doing that. You're transitioning your thinking to thinking of an alien, and then you're like, okay, now I'm getting this, Lord. That means that I'm not going to like the things that are here per se. I'm not going to think like here. I'm going to look a little strange at times. Help me be a bold alien. A bold alien, that's a good prayer. Father God, I pray that we become bold aliens, not a closet alien. Help us to come out the closet and say boo to the devil and his children instead of hiding because we're scared. Thank you for boldness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Bold aliens. Bold aliens, they work on not being addicted to approval. And if they are, then you go to the rehab, spiritually speaking, get your addiction fixed, and you no longer have to be approved. Because you understand, I've been approved by God.
Yes.
Now that's going to help a lot for some of us that are struggling with that. That's when I think it was the psalmist said, and when your mother and father forsake you, your closest people forsake you, so then the Lord will take me up. He'll take me in. He got me. And when your sisters and brothers walk away from you, call you all kind of names. Mother don't act right. Cousin, uncle, auntie, best friend no longer understands you. It's supposed to be that. If your best friend is a sinner and you're now a Christian, they're not going to understand you anymore. Like, I don't get you. You used to do this. You say this. You don't do that anymore. Yeah. They marvel because you don't run to the same excess of riot as the scripture said that you once did. Now I don't do that no more. We're aliens. Just we'll begin this and we will stop in a little bit. Second, so the first question is why the term alien? The second question is as a result of being an alien, how will the world behave towards you? So this is a warning. If you hear the word warning, that's not what our flesh wants to hear. As a result of us being aliens, foreigners, strangers, exiles, temporary residents, how will the world behave or act towards you? And I'm putting it underneath there. This is a warning. Because the first thing I have on my notes is they're going to act towards you with hatred and hostility. So if you know that now, then you're not going to waste and compromise the glory of God trying to butter up and be friends with somebody who, when you speak the truth, is going to hate you and act hostile towards you. Does that make sense? Warning you now. So that'll help break the approval thing. You're like, oh, well, you know what? The God, Lord God already said he wasn't supposed to like me. So go on and tell him abortion is murder. Tell him no. You know, no. Fornication is not just premarital sex. It is a sin. Let's not relabel and rename things so they're nicer. I told you the disturbing. I think I told you the name of the group, but I got it for sure now. The American Psychological Association. The American Psychological Association relabeled sexual child abuse when an adult has sex with a child. They relabeled that transgenerational intimacy. That's disturbing. When you can relabel a torture and abuse of a child to be in a more acceptable phrasing or labeling of transgenerational, remember, cross-generational intimacy. Older person with a younger person. Intimacy, then anything is up for grabs in this society. Anything is up for grabs. That ought to disturb you so that you don't want no parts of this society. That's what you're dealing with. So yes, when you tell them, no, it's not transgenerational intimacy, you nut. You're torturing and abusing a child. Well, when they tell you that, they're gonna meet you. That's gonna be hatred and hostility. You tell a lesbian you're not to go with another woman, that is an abomination before God. It's detestable, and God loathes that activity. They're gonna hate you. But you and I can't be afraid to say that, knowing you're gonna be met with that loathing and hatred. John, the 15th chapter. The Gospel of John, the 15th chapter. And look at verse 18. The 15th chapter and the 18th verse. Hey, would you rather that I lighten it up and say, well, I don't want to tell them they're going to get hated. And you don't want that. Because then you'll get confused. You're like, well, what? Pastor, why did this happen to me? Oh, my bad. You're going to look at me real crazy, like Mr. Arlene looking. And you're going to be upset. You're like, okay, well, this dude holding this back, then what else is he not telling me? You know how we start thinking like that? You held that back, trying to spare my feelings, then what else is going on? Verse 18, right? Did I tell you that?
Yes.
Okay. If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me, who is me, Jesus, before it hated you. So I'm like the precursor. I've gone before you, and they hated me. So you follow me, they're going to hate you. Just be prepared. If you were of the world. Remember, we just read why we're aliens, because we're not of this world. Verse 19 again. If you were of or belonged to the world would love you. It would love its own. What do you mean by love its own? They would treat you with affection. Yeah, well, you know, man, you know, I guess transgenerational intimacy, and it, I guess you're already shaking their head. I ain't finished it out. That's just disturbing, am I right, Miss Linda?
Yes.
That's extremely disturbing. That shows your children are just throwaways. You little people right here, they just throwaways. Just throwaways. You got grown folks relabeling that. These are grown, educated folk. Care nothing about children. Remember I told you, I know y'all looked at me crazy when I said, with all of this atheism and getting rid of God and evolution, and I told you what that the root of all that, I told you it was sexual perversion.
Yeah.
It is, the sexual lust is just, and it's been like that for millennia, thousands and thousands of years. I told you, you almost have to have a bucket next to you is when you read the one chapter in Exodus that talks about all the sexual perverted prohibitions. Having sex with a stepsister, sex with another brother, sister, mother, with a mother-in-law, and bestiality, all that is all through there. Because they were already doing that. I'm pretty sure all that was going on. And he had to get laws against all of that. They say if you read the lives of these scientists, these philosophers and all these atheists, read about their sexual habits, you will be stepping into the darkness. Dark, dark, dark. And to get rid of my guilt, how about I just say, I don't believe in a God? Disturbing. If you were of or belonged to the world would love its own. But you are not of the world. In other words, you are no longer one with the world. You no longer think as they think, speak as they speak, do as they do. But I chose you out of the world. Thank you, Lord. That right there is enough to close down, get an organ, and just shout all through the basin for about the next 2 hours. Because he chose us out of that mess. Because we were once in that mess. We were once in there. We were in there. I think about Fella, I think about JR. These guys, they both should have been dead. I mean, Fella, what, you got hit in the head with a bat? A pipe or?
Bats.
Plural. He corrected me with plural. In the head. Bleeding like a stuck pig, as they say. He chose us out of the world. Thank you, Jesus. Because of this, what is this? Him choosing us out of the world, he warns us the world hates, the word hates means to loathe and detests you. That ought to help cure your addiction. I don't be addicted to nobody that hates me because God chose me away from you. Because I dare not call sexual child abuse transgenerational intimacy. You gonna hate me? Then hate me, baby. Hate me. That's what ought to be my attitude. I ain't going in with that perversion. It's not extramarital affair. It's adultery. It's not a woman's right to over her body. It's abortion. To all that been relabeled. And abort means murder. They've even chose that word to kind of soften that up. You're murdering babies. That's why they'll hate you. Nah, on the other hand, we'll stop here. I'm well respected at the school that me and Sister Melinda works at. She is too. We're well respected there. And I know that if I were to speak anything about abortion, homosexuality, lesbianism, any of those things, I'll become a pariah in that school. But, and so I'm thinking, as I'm meditating on this, it came to me from the Lord, I believe, that if he doesn't tell you to go out and let people know these different things, then you just go ahead, because it's okay that they respect you, which they should, because they're supposed to be looking at your lifestyle. But there's a fine line. Because I'm meditating on this, I'm thinking like, yeah, but I said, Lord, I don't want to be no hypocrite. He said, yeah, but I didn't, so he said, so what would that look like? He said, think it through. And I love how he tells me, think it through. So if you, I didn't tell you to go into the halls and start yelling, abortion is murder, even in the case of rape and incest. If you don't believe that, forget y'all, or something like that. He said, I didn't tell you to do that. So it's okay to be nice to people, and because you still should do that. But know that when you are approached, whenever I give the opportunity, whatever way, the prodding, to speak it, you better speak it. Not that you got this going and doing it, because this is why. No, and I don't ever agree with Christians. You're going to hell, you know. If God didn't tell you to do that, it may be true you are going to hell, but God didn't tell you to do that. That's not what you're supposed to be doing. It's okay to be respected. It's okay to be, you know, admired and so forth on your job or in your neighborhood. That's fine, but don't let that approval and being respected and so forth, being accepted, become so comfortable that you'll compromise the glory of God when he tells you basically now is you're going to lose that comfort and being accepted, because I'm somebody going to come to you with a question. When you answer that for real, it's going to turn the whole thing loose. Are you willing to hold on to being accepted? Are you willing to hold on to being approved of as a loose garment? Are you willing to let it go at any time? Because it's by the grace of God that people even tells you to be quiet that long for people even to like you. I say to myself, when I'm around these folks, I tell myself, you know, we can set this thing off. What do you say? We can set the roof off the sucker. You're talking about them hot button issues, homosexuality, lesbianism and abortion, you're gonna tear the whole house up. They look at me like, but you know what? Realize that that's how you have to wear that. Mm-hmm. Realize that's the grace of God. He's allowed that.
Yes.
For a time. And realize this, everything is for a time. Everything is for a season. Yeah. I need to go back to Ecclesiastes 3, to everything there's a season. Time to live, a time to die, time to fight, time to war, time to peace, time to cry. It's a season. Yeah. Friends, relationships, they come for a while and they leave. It throw you sideways and don't throw me. I was cool with some people and for years and gone. Mm-hmm. Really no rhyme or reason. They just left. Just was the end of that season. Sometimes it's hard, but when you understand sovereignty, it helps to deal with it a little bit better. Thank God for teaching you, right? Yeah. Man, we'll stop there. Father God, we thank you for your word today. We are not addicted to approval. At least I hope not. If we are, break us of it, from it, of that habit. Jesus said, if we were of the world would love us and treat us with affection. Then he goes on to say, but because we're not of the world, because we're no longer one with the world, because you, Father God, chose us out of the world, because of this, the world will hate and detest us. We've already been warned. Help us to receive it, receive it, receive it in our hearts and minds. Word of life, repeat this after me. Say, I receive
this
in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.